are unstoppable, and we can be.
As we're going to see, this is when Paul is going to establishing many churches. Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, 17. Okay, but in between 18, 19, and 20, in these time periods, and if we even put 17 here, this is where Paul writes what is known as the Acts epistles. Okay, six books, and the order in which they show up in your Bible, the first one is Romans. Okay, so these are books written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, as they show up after the book of Acts is the book of Romans. Then we have 1 and 2 Corinthians. Okay, Galatians also being a Acts epistles. And then 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Okay, these six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These six were written between Acts 17 and Acts 20. These are the Acts epistles of Paul. The other seven that Paul wrote would be out here in the future after Acts 28, known as the prison epistles. Okay? Now, if you would, put a marker there in in Ephesians chapter 2, and come on over to Acts 18. Remember the two bodies that we were seeing there in Ephesians 2. The we who first trusted in Christ, okay, and ye who also trusted. Remember that? Verse 12. That we should be to the praise... I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of your salvation, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, we who first trusted in Christ, ye who also trusted. Now, in verse 9, in Acts chapter 18, in verse 18, Acts 18, 19. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue. Wow, look where he's going first. The synagogue. And he reasoned with the Jews. I thought he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He is, amen. Just remember, the book of Acts is a transitional book, okay? Things change over time. At this time, when Paul wrote these six books of the Bible, he's still going to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, and also to the Gentile. Okay? That's why you always see this in Romans. You know, to anyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay, Corinthians, he says the same thing. He'll say that term over and over again. And we're looking at why the doctrine in Ephesians, actually chapters 1, 2, and 3. It's to show the difference between we who first trusted in Christ and ye who also trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, so here's the first time he goes. It's right there in verse 19, Acts 18 now, verse 19. And he reasoned with the Jews. All right? He comes back, Acts chapter 19, okay, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, a second time, right, if you will, and finding certain disciples, okay, and on he goes here. So keep your hand in both of those. Okay, so back here, and in Acts 18, he goes the first time. In Acts 19, he comes back a second time. And this would be the Ephesian church that he sets up. And I'm going to call this, we who first And the key is trusted in Christ, as the Bible said there in Ephesians. Okay, so this is the church that he's setting up here the first two times that he goes to Ephesus, and again, around A.D. 52. Okay? So what, about 13 years after... about 23 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Okay? Alright, so, coming back to 19... So Acts chapter 19, verse 2, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Sure shows they're what? What type of people would these be? Jews. They were baptized unto John's baptism, right? They are Jews. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people is a key phrase, Jews, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, okay, that Jesus is the Christ, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. Okay, this is why you don't get your doctrine back here. Okay, there's a lot of different things going on. And they prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Okay, there were 12 men here. And he spake, and he went into the synagogue. Okay, he, Paul, went into the synagogue. And he spoke boldly for the space, of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Remember, this way and that way throughout the book of Acts. This way would refer to Peter's teachings, the gospel that Peter taught. Okay, the gospel of the kingdom message, if you will. That way is Paul's message. The gospel that Paul preached, the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, so going back to verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Okay, so for 2 years. Now this is the pattern that Paul did whenever he established a church back here in the book of Acts. If you start like around 15 forward, through 20, each time he sets up a church, wherever he goes to a town, he's always going to the synagogue. Okay, he's going to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Okay, he's still bound by the promise to Abraham, okay, way back, okay, that the Abraham and the Jews would be God's people when it refers to the promise. That's the promise. Paul is still bound by the promise because during the book of Acts, the Jews are still God's chosen people. So he goes to the Jew first like he did here, but in this case he was there 3 months, as it said. But when divers in verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. So he goes to the school of Tyrannus next door. Okay? So if this was a synagogue, the key is this. The people that left and went with him to the school of Tyrannus, those Gentiles, where were they to first hear the word? They were in the synagogue, right? Okay? Very, very key. Okay, that's the difference. The Gentiles back here in this time period, around AD 50 to 55, Acts 15 to Acts 20, 21. These Gentiles to whom Paul went to were putting themselves, they were trying to put themselves into the promises by aligning themselves with Israel. Okay, that's very key to pick this up. Okay, they were in the synagogue. They realized that the only way at this time period now to be in God's graces, okay, if you will, was to be in the synagogue, was to align themselves with Israel. Paul went there first, and as soon as they basically kicked him out, he would go next door. Some places, some towns, it would be a home. Here it was the school of Tyrannus, down the street, if you will. And that, for the next 2 years, that became the church with those Gentiles. Okay, is that making sense?
Amen.
Okay, let's just flip to Ephesians 2 for a minute. Just to get a bearing again. Ephesians 2. Actually, I'm not going to go back there yet. It'll make more sense if we wait. Okay, so just understand, those are the type of Gentile that Paul is going to. And when he's writing Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, okay, those are the type of Gentiles that are in those books. That's where they were physically. Okay, so yes, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles throughout. But during this period, Acts 17 through 20, he's going to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He's still bound by the promise that God made to Abraham way back. Okay, and I'll bless them that bless thee. Okay? I'm sorry? Okay? Back in, I'm sorry, I think I heard two or three people say something. I'm afraid I just said something wrong. No? Okay, great. Please make sure if I say a wrong word, go ahead and, you know, like Brother Percy, I love the way he did that up at Lake Gunnersville. He'd read the verses, and if he put a word in there or took a word out, and we from the audience didn't catch him on, he'd say, "Shame on you. Don't you dare let me do that." Same thing here. Okay. All right, so now, back to Acts 19. All right, so that's the second time that Paul is there. There being in Ephesus. Okay, now, let's come up to verse 20. Chapter 20. By the way, you might want to even write a little note in the margin of your Bible there. So I was saying he's writing Corinthians and Romans at this time period. You know, I have Romans, Acts 19, verse 22. That's where he wrote 1 Corinthians. It's during that time where at the end it said, but at the end of verse 22, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Okay, if you compare that with 1 Corinthians 16, 8, you'd see that's when he wrote the first Corinthian letter. Now, as we go through and we get to Acts chapter 20, right there in verse 1, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." Okay, that's where he wrote 2 Corinthians. Okay, verse 2, "And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece, and there abode 3 months." That's when he wrote the book of Romans. So if you want to put those in your margins. Okay, so again, right in here is where he's writing Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, the first three books that show up in a King James, in a Bible, in the King James Bible, okay, that were written by the Apostle Paul. Okay, Thessalonians and Galatians written prior to that. Okay, so there's the six Acts epistles written by Paul. That's where they're written, right in there. Again, very key, the doctrine and when's it being written. You know, the old thing about context, right? To whom it, you know, who's saying it, to whom are they writing, what comes before, what comes after. You know, when did they do this? And that's why I put the years up here and try to put it in relation to the crucifixion to help us just get our bearings. Okay, so here's where he's writing them. But again, this is the church at Ephesus, we who first trusted in Christ. So he went there twice. He preached to them twice. And he was there, as it said in Acts 19, how long the second time? 2 years. And that's the 2 years after, and you know, then there were 3 months prior to that where he was in the synagogue. So that's 2 years and 3 months on his second visit. All right, now, in chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, in verse 17. And from Miletus, he, being Paul, he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. Okay? So, he's calling to Ephesus, where he had been there not long ago for 2.5 years, 2.25 years. Okay, and he calls the elders of the church of Ephesus, the church of we who first trusted in Christ. Verse 18, and when they, the elders, were come to him, he said unto them, I know from the first day, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Okay, so on and on he goes. All right, and he just recaps. The key I want you to see, some keys here. Come down to verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, ye elders there, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Okay, now come over to verse 36. So he goes on to continue talking there. I'm sorry, before we get there, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God. And I would say to you, that is what we see written in the books of Thessalonians, Galatians, and then the doctrine that's included in Romans and Corinthians. Okay, so that, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Okay, that's that doctrine. Now, come to verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore. Who's there? The elders of the church and Paul. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Okay, so do you see? I mean, for crying out loud, Paul was there for two years and 3 months the second time, right? He was there a good while. Do you think we can develop a good relationship when we're there constantly for 2 full years? All right, Paul knew these people well, did he not? And the elders, what did it say there? They wept. They fell on him and kissed him. And they wept because they would see him no more. Okay, so Steve, why are you making a big deal about this? Because we're going to come to Ephesus, we're going to come to the book of Ephesians in a minute. And we see two very distinct groups. Okay, the we who first trusted in Christ. I'm trying to establish the fact, I hope clearly, is that Paul knew these people extremely well. Okay, they are part of that church of we who first trusted in Christ. The other thing is the doctrine for this church, we who first trusted in Christ, are found in these 6 books that Paul wrote during this time frame. Okay? Because Paul had progressive revelation. Remember, there were a few times, like 3 times, that Paul went to be with the Lord, okay, to get further revelations. Okay, he was stoned, he leaves the body, and he's caught up in the third heavens, right? And he has revealed things. Okay, so Paul had progressive revelation. Okay, so very, very key. So he knew these people well. The other thing is the pattern. Remember, Paul first went to the synagogue here at Ephesus. Let's go back while we're still studying this time period. Acts 17. At the beginning of Acts 18. So, in verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Okay? Corinth, the church at Corinth, where he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians 2. Or Corinth, not Corinth. Corinth. Okay? And he came to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. All Jews to depart from Rome. Okay, so when he wrote Romans, the Jews had departed from Rome and came unto them. Okay, so on and on it goes. Verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed. Okay, whoa, after he's been preaching to them. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. I'm sorry, where was he? Let's back up to verse 4 and get the context. And he reasoned where? In the synagogue, every Sabbath. And persuaded who? The Jews and the Greeks. So verse 4, we see the same thing. He's when he goes into any town here at Corinth, he's going into the synagogue first, and he's going to the Jews and the Greeks. What type of Greeks? What type of Gentiles? Those who were aligning themselves with Israel. Okay? Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were coming to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, they haven't done that much during the book of Acts, have they? And blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own hands, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house, named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Well, how about that? Back here at the beginning of 18, the town before he went to Ephesus, he's in Corinth over here. He goes to the synagogue first. In this case, after they blaspheme, he goes to a house that's joined hard to the synagogue. I guess that means literally joined hard, right at the other side of this wall, right? Right next door. Duplex, okay? But he goes over there and he continues teaching. But he always went to the Jew first during this time period. And when the Jews reject, your blood be upon your own heads. And he goes next door with the Greeks, with the Gentiles. The we who first trusted in Christ. Do you see the pattern? I just wanted to back up to a town before this. So you see the pattern that Paul is following all in this time period. Okay, the pattern, the type of Greek, the type of Gentile you see in here. Okay? Any questions? I want to make sure we're clear on this. Questions? Go ahead and fire away. It's important. Again, we're going to the doctrine that we see in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. We had a great application Wednesday night, so I thought this would fit so well to go right to the doctrine behind it. Okay? Good to go? So everybody's clear on who this type of Gentile is. Is anybody in here this type of Gentile?
No.
Absolutely not. How many of you have ever even been in a synagogue? You don't even have to raise your hand, and you know that's great if you have. It's great if you have, or you know, it doesn't matter if you have. Doesn't matter if you haven't. The point is, all of these Gentiles were aligning themselves with Jews. They realized that during this time period, and that's the key. During this time period, they did have to align themselves. Make no mistake about it. How did these Gentiles get saved? The exact same way you and I get saved today. Where is the gospel? In this first book that Paul wrote, not first book, in the first Corinthian letter that Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 15, you see then how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Where is that found? 1 Corinthians 15. These Gentiles absolutely were saved by the same gospel that you and I are saved with today.
Amen.
Okay? Same message, same gospel. A little different group at the beginning. That's the key. Okay? Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's where we're coming to. You know, give me an hour or so and we'll absolutely, Ephesians 3, that's where we're putting the two groups into one body. Absolutely. Absolutely, they're in the body of Christ. And if you look at the doctrine even, that body is talked about. The church, which is His body, is talked about in Corinthians, is it not? Absolutely. That body of Christ is here. Great question. Thank you. Any others before we move on here? Yeah, Paul said, in me first. Okay, when did Paul get there? Paul got there in Acts 9 when he was saved. But me first. So he was the first one in that body. In that church which is his body. Okay, so he's right there in Acts 9, absolutely. So if he was first, what about people in Acts 8? Could they have been there in that church? No way. Paul said, in me first. First means first. And that's not a tough one to understand in Greek or English or any language. First is first. It means there's nobody before you. Okay. So in Acts 18 at the beginning there, we have to finish. So verse 6 again, Acts 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Okay? That being that key phrase. The Jews had to reject first. The Jews had to blaspheme. Once they rejected the message that Paul was preaching to them, that's when Paul was released, if you will, from his obligation to the promises made to Abraham way back. I'll bless them that bless thee, being part of that. Okay? That's what then freed Paul to go next door, in this case, to the household of justice. In Ephesus, he went down the street to the school of Tyrannus for the next 2 years. That became their church, if you will. But in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, he refers to that as the body of, or the group of, or the church of Ephesus, as we who first trusted in Christ. Okay, let's keep going a little bit here. Now, let's come back to Ephesians. And in chapter 1, I want to come back and start in verse 10. And this is one of the mysteries that Paul talks about. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and let's just go ahead and put that in here. In the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, we know that in here becomes a dispensation, okay, that is a mystery, hidden in Scriptures. Okay? It ends with the rapture of the body of Christ, of the church which is His body. Then a 7-year period of tribulation, and the return of Christ to the earth for His 1,000-year reign. Okay? Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, okay, so again, this dispensation out here will end, the fullness of times, when time is filled up for the Gentiles, for the church which is His body, ending by the rapture of the church, the calling out of the church. Okay, the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. May I, the saints which are asleep in Christ, as we learn about in 1 Thessalonians, and those of us that are alive and remain, there will be people here on earth that leave at that time period. You know, maybe it's some of us in this room, maybe it's not. We don't know. Nobody knows the time. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Whoa, there's that ye from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 at the end, parentheses, by grace ye are saved. Okay? So there is a... So again, he's writing this out here during when he's in prison, after Acts 28. Okay? It could be somewhere between... And let's see, I'm doing the ADs up here. So I'm going to put AD... I'm just going to say between 60 and 65. Okay? Another 15 years after AD 52. Somewhere in here, when he's writing the prison epistles, he's writing this book of Ephesians. Now, I asked you a couple weeks ago, do you remember back to September 11th, 2001? You know, do you remember where you were when you heard about the Twin Towers, you know, being on fire? Most of us heard about it while they were still on fire and still standing, right? I think everybody, without exception, yeah, I remember where I was. Think back to Y2K. You know, January 1st, 2000. You know, kind of an eventful time. Y'all remember where you were then? You remember that time frame, the group where you were? How many people still live where they lived January 1st, 2000? About half. Okay? I'll never forget that night and my youngest daughter that just graduated 2 weeks ago. At that time, she's in second grade. Wow, the days are long, but the years are short, huh? And we're watching we're at some friend's house and the ball's bouncing or coming down. It's going to be midnight. Y2K. And she starts crying. I don't want the lights to go out. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what have we drilled into our kids? Here's my point. We've lived 2-3 major places since then. All right, we left there and that we were in North Carolina at the time, part of Appalachian Christian School. We left there and moved to Houston, Texas. And the reason I bring that up is this. That was a great group. We were close with those people. We only lived there 3 years, but from 99 to 2002. And I think back to them. We knew them well, but you know what? Some things have changed over time, don't you think, since leaving there in 2002? Matter of fact, we left there and moved to Houston. Girls were part of Woodlands Christian Academy from 2002 to 2006. And matter of fact, I even got to coach both junior high and high school football at the Woodlands Christian Academy. And so Rachel, the one that just graduated, was in seventh grade when we got there. And there's reason for this madness. Okay? She was in seventh grade. She's a cheerleader. I'm teaching the junior high. You know, her two sisters are older. You know, I wanted to know those boys that might be calling on to date those girls, right? There's a method to my madness then. Rachel was in seventh grade. Here's the reason I'm bringing this up. That class where she was in seventh grade when we first moved there, and I coached those boys for the next several years. Well, they just graduated this year. That was their graduating class. I went back. You know, we left there in 2006. Come on, that wasn't that long ago, was it? And I went back and with this internet, we can read stuff in the past. And I read about some of the articles of the football team this year. Do you believe there was not one person? Excuse me, there was one guy that got mentioned one time. Other than that, there wasn't a single person on that football team this year that I coached back then. They were all new people. Now the reason I bring that up is this. I want you to remember when we come back after the break and we start talking about ye who also trusted in Christ. This group is at least 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe even a few years more than that since this church, we who first trusted in Christ. That's why I use that example. That was only 5 years after the football team I coached. 5 years later, there's not a single person in there that I coached. Things change, right? So now you're going to see why when there's two different groups here, when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of truth, promise. Come down here, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Okay, he heard of it. Remember, back here he was there 2 years, 3 months the second time. He was there a time before that. Another time in Acts, he said, I was with you 3 years. I ceased not for a period of 3 years. He knew these people well. The people he's writing to in the book of Ephesians is not this church. It is ye who also trusted. Sorry, I don't write real well this. I don't write real well anyway, but especially in this way. Trusted in Christ. A second group, if you will. Okay? Things change over time. You know, there's a good 10, 15 years, maybe more, from here to here. But we're going to learn about who these people are, some of the characteristics of these people. Let's just make sure, and then we're going to take the break. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go back and look one more time how he describes this group during this time period. And he describes them over here starting in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye who also trusted in Christ, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, time past, I'm going to even say back here when he was there the first time, because they were not there to hear him preach, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12 is key. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now. Okay? At this time, they were strangers, right? Isn't that what it just said right there? Verse 12 is the key. Make sure you contrast 12 against the people we were reading about in Acts 18 and 19. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. That's why I asked you, how many of you have gone to the synagogue? Okay? We don't do that today. We know we don't have to. If we had lived in AD 52, you better believe we would have had to have done that. But today, in the year 2011, just as out here in AD 60 and 65, we're just like these Gentiles to whom Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians. That's us. Each one of us in here are just like the ones in Ephesians 2:12. Okay? We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and because of that, we would have had no hope without God in the world if that's what we still had to do at that time. Okay, is that clear?
Amen.
Okay, and like he starts out in verse 13. But now, every time you see these, get a red highlighter, do something to make that stand out in your Bible. Every time you see in Paul where he says, but now, and he says it many, many times. Starting right off in Romans 3. We did that, 2 weeks ago. Romans 3, Romans 16 near the end. But now, something different. But now, as opposed to what happened before. Because everything Paul is teaching is new doctrine. Because all the way back here, for 4,000 years in the Old Testament, then Christ comes to earth. He dies and is buried and rose again the third day for our justification. He dies for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day for our justification. And that's all we have to do today to be saved, is put our faith in that and that alone. It is so easy. We just got to stop trying, start believing. And how easy is that? As opposed to everybody before us. But for thousands of years, things have been going on. Then Christ came with the new message. And Peter and the 12 start with that message. But then Paul comes in with a better message. The gospel of the grace of God. And He says, in me first. Okay? And that's where we're going to pick up now when we come back after the break. Okay? Questions?